Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Nintendo Fanboys. Today, I believe we're doing episode 18, and by we, I mean I am doing it by myself. Jed is completely out of it right now. He's basically given up on YouTube, and he's being an ass. He's saying that he doesn't have time to do podcasts or videos or anything COE related, but yet in a week he has completed Final Fantasy VII, which took him 22 hours to do, and also completed I Am Setsuna, which, if you've noticed by Jared's style in the Pokemon Uranium Let's Play, he's a baby, so he does everything very anally. So I'm gonna say it probably took him around another 15 hours to do that. So he has all this time out of nowhere, but apparently work is in the way when it comes to doing this stuff. So I'm going to try my best and record an episode all by myself. We'll see how long or how good it is. I'm using some kind of Audacity program, and I've tested it out a bit, and I don't like the audio quality. So I'm hoping I'm going to be able to edit it and remove those annoying background noises. Hopefully I can figure it out, or maybe even Jared can. We'll see. So maybe this podcast never sees the light of day. You never know, but I'm really hoping it does. I have a lot of stuff to talk about today. Obviously, the Nintendo Direct was this morning. As of recording, we're September 1st on Thursday. This is supposed to be getting up on Sunday. Obviously, those that are subscribed to our podcast services like iTunes will get it earlier. I'm also going to talk about what I'm playing, as usual. The return of the Amiibo news is going to also make there. And, of course, we're going to end the podcast with Blast from the Past, as we always do. So, first off, I'm going to talk about what games I'm currently playing. So, Pokemon Uranium is complete. I completed it yesterday, clocked it around 27 hours. So I managed to beat the game, have the credits roll, and everything. So I'm looking forward to actually doing a review on this one. And I'm probably also going to do a written review, which is something I haven't done in a while. But for the Pokemon games, I usually do it because I have a lot more to say and I don't want to do a 30-minute video of me rambling. So Pokemon Uranium was done. I had a lot of fun with it. Really enjoying also Jared's Let's Play. I believe he has 3 episodes recorded, only 2 are on the channel right now, and it's a pretty good success so far. It's not going to destroy the hits on YouTube, obviously, because we're not a very big Pokemon channel, but it's an interesting Let's Play, and if you're a fan of Nintendo, obviously you know a bit about Pokemon, and you might want to check it out just to see what this fan game is about. So I'm not going to tell you much more about Pokemon Uranium. We've already talked about for almost an hour in the last podcast, and I'm planning on doing an in-depth review on this one. So look forward on that. Next, I'm also playing a lot of Rocket League recently. It's something I have not played in a long while, but I recently found out that Rocket League is one of the few things I can do and sit my son next to me and he'll just watch me play and relax, which is always fun sometimes when you're tired of playing or doing whatever the kids do, you know. People who have kids, I know sometimes you just want a break, and Rocket League is something I can just play and relax, and Elliot sits right next to me and he enjoys watching me. He enjoys seeing those little cars running around and doing stuff, so it's amazing. Rocket League and Baby Jake are the only things that Elliot seems to be entertained by when it comes to Netflix and TV. So if you don't know what Baby Jake is, check it out on Netflix. It's an incredible show. You'll have hours and hours of entertainment guaranteed. And speaking of Rocket League, I just thought of something really, really silly, but if Nintendo would talk to Psyonix, I think they're called Psyonix, but I might be wrong. I'm not professional enough to do my my research when I do these things. If Nintendo would just talk to Psyonix and try to have an exclusive version of Rocket League for the launch of the NX, or for the NX foreseeable future, that would be something pretty cool. I think that would be a win-win situation for Nintendo. Just give out some Mario skins or some any Zelda skins, whatever you want. Add them, add some classic Nintendo characters in the Rocket League franchise, and you can have yourself a knockoff success for the NX right there. Rocket League for the NX would be amazing. Just a thought I had. I went on the eShop, and that's something you should not do unless you're planning on buying a specific game. So I went on the eShop. Jaren mentioned to me last week or the week before that Metroid Prime 4 is hinted at the end of Metroid Prime Federation Force. So I did an impulse buy again and I bought Federation Force. And I'm now an hour in, and I have to say that it's not as bad as I thought. If this would not have the Metroid name, I believe this could have been a bit better, because it doesn't really need the Metroid name. I think the characters, they all look like bubbleheads. It looks silly. I don't like the art style. But the gameplay is pretty solid so far. It's kind of a Metroid Prime Lite. There's next to no exploration whatsoever. I'm playing it single player, however, and I've heard that it's next to impossible to do the later missions on single player. So it's kind of like Triforce Heroes, which is unfortunate because I don't really know anybody who's playing this, and I don't really want anyone to buy this just to play with me, because it's not really a must-play game. But I was curious to see the Metroid Prime 4 hint, although I can just look it up on YouTube, but that would require me to be smart. So I'm going to be curious to see if I can continue playing it. Just the fact that it's getting more difficult as you play alone is going to, of course, discourage me, and it doesn't really control that well. Like, it would, with the new 3DS, like, the second knob app works and helps a lot, but it's just really unfortunate that Nintendo didn't bother to actually put the real analog stick on there as a second, like the first one. I don't know why they did not do that. That would have been awesome. That little knob is fine for, like, moving the camera in Monster Hunter, but for precise controls, like, required for a first-person shooter, it's a bit too much. It doesn't exactly work. So we'll see if I enjoy Metroid Prime Federation Force more. And finally, I just downloaded Axiom Verge. It just came out today on the eShop. We've talked about it last podcast. We're probably going to talk about it in a few more podcasts. I think this is, you're going to see footage of Axiom Verge if you're watching this on YouTube. While I'm talking, I played for 15 minutes, and already, I read before downloading it, even though I was going to buy it, I read the NintendoLife.com review, and they gave it a perfect 10, and I can see right away that it seems like I'm going to agree with them. The first thing that struck me when I put the game on is that it looks, or it feels like an NES game. And obviously it looks way better than an NES game, but it feels like one, and it's amazing. And the story seems incredible. So I only played 15 minutes and I died. So I was surprised because Nintendo Life said that the game wasn't hard. But of course, I really suck at video games, which is strange since I've been playing video games all my life. But I'm really looking forward to going back and dig deeper into this game. This is one I can see myself finishing when I finally have some time. And I recommend, of course, every one of you should go seek it out and try it out. Alright, before I go right into the direct moments, I want to first thank you guys for your input during the last Fanboys, episode 17, when we talked about the Metroid fan and Pokemon Uranium fan main games. We, Jared and I, had a pretty similar opinion, but we really wanted you guys to tell us what you thought and leave comments and you answered. So I wanted to reply to those comments, so specifically one from Ahmed and another one from Marc-André or Mal, I don't remember his YouTube name. He's basically my brother-in-law and the guy who was generous enough to give me this brand new laptop, which I'm recording on right now. So they both had similar example, but Ahmed really gave the example of Sega and Sonic, where I believe that Sonic CD or Sonic game was actually started as a fan project, and Sega actually ended up publishing it and working with it or something like that. I'm not really sure, but I know that Sega are much more open-minded when it comes to fan-made game. And I think Marc-André wanted something like Nintendo to create a division that would support these fan-made games and maybe polish them off more and make sure they pass all the various quality tests Nintendo has. And I kind of agree and disagree at the same time on those opinions. First off, I believe that it's not as cheap and as easy as people think to do something like that. I think there's a significant investment to be made, and both money-wise and time-wise, to create something like that to make sure that these games are good enough to be released to the general public. That being said, the example of Sega is a good one, but Sega, frankly, needs this more, way more, rather than Nintendo. Because Sega, I know people hate it when I bash Sega, but I just have to be truthful to myself. And if you like Sonic, if you like Sega, well, more power to you. It's totally fine for you guys. You don't have to have the same opinion as me. But in my mind, Sega has really not been doing Sonic any favors in the last, like, 15 years. So they need all the help they can get. And when people create better games than they do, sure, go ahead and release it, work with it, good. You're giving the fans what they want because, well, you're not really giving the fans what they want, so let people who seem to be more competent than you make the game and release it, and that's fine. It's a great example with Sega, but I think comparing Sega to Nintendo is comparing apple and oranges. With Mal's example, so let's talk about Metroid 2 Remake and Pokemon Uranium. For me, since Nintendo doesn't seem to have any plans to make 2D Metroids anymore, it's a perfect idea to publish the Metroid 2 fan remake. First off, I haven't played the game. Perfect. I haven't played the game at all, so I don't know if the game is any good or how good it is. Obviously, I do not believe that it's as good as a Nintendo made, or who made Metroid Zero Mission? I believe it was Intelligent Systems, or whoever it was. I don't think they can manage to make a game as good as that, but maybe they can. Whatever the case may be, obviously, the game needs to follow Nintendo's vision for the series, so if Nintendo would be willing to invest more money and more time into the remake, by all means, go ahead. You should probably release that game to the public because you're not doing anything Metroid related. So in that case, I totally agree with Marc-André's point here. But when it comes to Pokemon Uranium, in absolutely no way, shape, or form should Nintendo allow that game to exist. And it's simple. Nintendo already releases Pokemon games almost on a yearly basis. You do not want any steam or any hype removed from Pokemon Sun and Moon. Jared mentioned last podcast how much he didn't want to play Uranium because he didn't want to have series fatigue when Sun and Moon gets released. Nintendo right now, the hype for Sun and Moon is at an ultimate high. Because of Pokemon Go, because of the new original Pokemon getting new forms and whatnot, the hype is through the roof, and these games look like they're going to sell really, really well. So you do not need to release any other kind of Pokemon game this year because of that. So in my mind, it doesn't make zero sense for Pokemon Uranium, and I still stand that although they did not officially ask for the cease and desist, eventually you can bet they would have, and the game was removed, and I'm pretty sure the guys that made Pokemon Uranium are perfectly happy with that. They got their 1.5 million downloads in the first 24 or 48 hours, probably because, again, Pokemon Go is really making anything Pokemon really explode recently, and now the game will be available forever on the internet, so they have no problem. They will continue supporting the game, making more patches. Apparently the online still works without a hitch. That's the only thing I haven't tried yet. I'm waiting for Jared to stop playing with his Vita, so we can try it out for my review. So these guys are happy. Like, they had what they it's the first time at least that I think of, that a Pokemon fan-made game has been as successful as Uranium has. So there's no sad story here. It's a Hollywood ending. Trust me, guys. Alright, so again, if you have opinions on anything I talk about or have talked about in the past, please let a comment below. I know that some of you guys really like Sega and Sonic, so if you want to tell me why I'm wrong, go ahead. I read all of your comments. So let's talk about the Nintendo Direct that happened today that was very 3DS focused. And I'm going to talk mainly about the moments that mattered to me. I'm not going to talk about the that puzzle Picross 2 game or that Disney Magical Stardom 2, whatever it was called, game. I'm not going to talk about those games that really don't care about. Maybe some of you do, good, but I just want to talk about stuff that I'm passionate about. So the Direct, for me, I wish they would do more of these. Obviously, they can't do one every month because they would just repeat themselves, but these are amazing. Every time there's one, I'm always having so much fun. And it started with a bang. It started with Pokemon Sun and Moon, and they started with showing us a new Alolan form, Rattata, which is now a dark and normal type. And I love how they have these really brilliant stories to explain how these creatures eventually evolve into these new types. Basically, the Alolan region was overrun back in the day. I think they actually said something like 200 years ago, but I don't remember it. And maybe they did not, but they did say that at some point the region was overrun with Rattatas. So what they did was they released a bunch of Langoose, or they mass-bred Langoose, so they would kill the they did not say kill, but obviously that's what they mean. They took care of the Rattata infestation. And for the Rattata to survive, they basically switched to a more nocturne lifestyle, so that's how they gain their dark typing, which is pretty cool. And they look pretty much the same, but they're now a darker gray or a gray blackish, and I really like it. So I can't wait to see more of these Alolan forms. And then after that, they talked about an exclusive Munchlax, which is the pre-evolved form of Snorlax, which will be available to anybody who buys the game. I think you'll have till mid-January to download the Munchlax. And the reason you want to do that is because even though these guys are easily, you can easily get one on other means, but this one will come with an exclusive Z-Crystal that will allow Snorlax to execute a powerful move. And I think the move is called something like a pancake. It's basically a powerful move that will only be available with this Munchlax. So another perk to get the game early. So that was pretty good. Again, I'm glad they did not spend too much time on Sun and Moon, but what they did say was enough for me, and they seem to be releasing new info in the game every week, so I'm really happy with that, and I hope they continue on that direction. Next up, Super Mario Maker for the 3DS. This is something I predicted a year ago, and by this time I did not expect it to happen anymore, but it did. And it was amazing, but at the same time so disappointing. Because Super Mario Maker for the Wii U was my favorite game last year, hands down. And the biggest reason for that was the online community, and Nintendo screwed up badly here. And they are trying to cover this thing up, and it's pissing me off. They always do this BS, and it's annoying. And fanboys defend them all the time, but it's annoying. Like, they basically said that the Wii U was about the online community, but they wanted to concentrate on local play with the 3DS version. So basically, you're going to be able to share your levels locally with people and via Street Pass. And that's fine. Really, that's fine. But the thing that pisses me off is that they say they want to concentrate on that, but they there's no reason to not say that, but say that you'll still be able to use Wi-Fi to publish your levels. Like, why is it with Nintendo that it's always one or the other? You cannot have both. They're the only one who does that, and it has not been working out for them for the past, like, since basically they were late to the game with online play and were late to the game with HD visuals. Like, sure, the Wii sold a bazillion copies. That's great for them. But look at the Wii U. Like, this has to stop. And it's PR talk. It's PR BS. Because it's not true. They do not want to concentrate on local play. The reason they're doing that is that because they're a cheap-ass company. They have always been. Look at the Wii. Everybody was saying that the Wii was a huge risk. It wasn't. It was a really outdated hardware. The GameCube was not successful. And they published that. They published that thing, and they were already making tons of money on it. And it exploded, and they got lucky with it. More power for them. But they're cheap. Like, that's the only reason there's no online play with Mario Maker on the 3DS. It's cheaper, and they obviously feel that it won't have a huge impact sales-wise. And they're probably right. Like, that most people would buy it anyway. But the thing is, that's how you lose fans eventually. That's why Nintendo fans are shrinking every year. Like, if you go back to the 90s, if you had a console with you, people would associate that console with Nintendo. Even if it was a Sega or a PlayStation or whatever it was, people that did not know much about games would call it a Nintendo. Even if it was a Super Nintendo, it was just gaming was associated with Nintendo. Now it's PlayStation. And this is one of the reasons. They're losing fans. I'm sorry. It sucks. I hate that. I wish they would stop this. Because it's not true. They're just spinning in it. And they're not doing a good job of it. And most people can see through it. But I hope that the fanboys can at least stop it. Because you're just hurting the Nintendo fan base. Alright, next up, Mario Party Star Rush, and it's the same thing here. I reviewed Mario Party, the last Mario Party game on the 3DS, which I believe was called Island Tour. You can still find that review on the Project Sui YouTube account, obviously. It's not a really long one, so check it out if you want to. And my biggest complaint with that game was that there was no online for it. And it's the same thing here. Like, it's easy to do a local Mario Party game on the Wii U because all you need is four remotes or whatever. If you're three, you need three remotes. And I know I have a trouble saying the letter three. It's just the way it is. But let's say you're four people at the house. You only need four Nintendo 64 controllers or four GameCube controllers or four whatever controllers you use on your Wii U, and you can play it. But if you want to play Mario Party Star Rush on your 3DS with four other people, you need four 3DS in total. And that's not something that's easy for adults. Like, maybe for kids, most kids have 3DSs, so it's easier for them. But for a guy like me, who I only know one other people here, a close friend of mine that has a 3DS, and he only has it for Pokemon. Like, it's not going to happen. Local play is not going to happen, so if I want to play multiplayer, and it's Mario Party, so I'm not going to play this by myself. I want this to be online. So there's no reason not for this to be online. So again, I'm not going to repeat myself, but I just wanted to rant on this subject. Let me know, you guys, if you have a different take on this, if you think I'm crazy or whatnot, but please let me know in the comments. Next up, Animal Crossing New Leaf will have some cool updates. So basically, amiibos will now be integrated in the now 3-year-old game. So that's pretty cool. That gives me a reason to go back to Animal Crossing New Leaf. Jared and I wasted more than 400 hours combined in that game back. It's an awesome game, guys. If you haven't checked it out, pick it up. It's now in the Nintendo Selects range, which means that it's $29.99 in Canada. It's a way reasonable price because there's hours and hours jam-packed into that game. And now there's a new, I guess, update that will allow you to use amiibos. So pretty hyped for that. Next up, they talked about Nindies, the summer event, which basically means that each week there'll be a new game introduced with a 10% price deduction. I guess it's going to last a week. Axiom Verge obviously debuted today. Pick it up. It sounds awesome. And there's going to be Severed coming soon also, which we've talked in previous Canadian Gamers for those that listen to that podcast. And it's one of the best games of the year. I believe it will have crossplay, so really look forward to that game, guys. Severed is one you should not be missing out on. And now it's time for the one of the favorite segments of Nintendo fanboys to make a comeback. So it's time for some Amiibo news. So Reggie announced 4 new classic Zelda Amiibos that will be coming out on the 2nd of December. And they look pretty good. I believe they were all golden. There's an 8-bit Link. There's the Ocarina of Time Link. And then there's a 2-pack which will include the Wind Waker Link and the Zelda Link. So those are pretty cool. I'm sure Jared will buy all of these. And then they also introduced the Poochie Yarn Amiibo, which is from Yoshi's Woolly Warren, I believe. I actually forgot. Yoshi's Woolly World, pardon me. And it's just basically the dog. Looks pretty cool. But the more interesting question I have here is, where are those missing Smash Amiibos? It's been a while, almost a year now, I believe. I think the last Smash Brothers Amiibos were in February or something, maybe March. And they're still missing at least 3 figures. We don't have the Corrine figure from Fire Emblem, we don't have the Bayonetta figure, and we don't have the Cloud figure from Final Fantasy VII. So where are those Amiibos? We should have more news by now. So maybe those are not going to happen anymore, I don't know, but like, it's been a long time. Next up, they announced Skyward Sword is on the eShop as of right now. So anybody who's missed out on the Wii Classic can now download it on the Wii U eShop. I believe those games are $25 or $30 Canadian. I'm not sure. I've never actually downloaded one of those, but it's a nice incentive for those who don't have the Wii games. If you do, you can always play them on your Wii U, because the Wii U is backward compatible, but of course you won't have access to Miiverse and stuff like that. So it's a nice little incentive, but that also was very sad, because this was the only time they mentioned the Wii U during the Direct. So this pretty much means and confirms that the Wii U is dead, which obviously most people know, with the NX coming out soon in March. But the thing is that heavy rumors are speculating that the NX will also be a portable, so it's curious that they're still investing so much time in the 3DS. So lots of questions that came out of this Direct when it comes to the NX. Is the NX truly a portable console hybrid, which is almost like 100% confirmed by now? And will Nintendo continue to support the 3DS for a while after the NX, or will they abandon the 50 million plus user base that the 3DS has? So we'll see. Lots more questions and topics for future Fanboys episode. Next up, Dragon Quest VIII finally shown, and I was really hoping they would tell us a release date, but it's still to be determined, 2017. Originally, this game was supposed to be in 2016, but obviously, releasing 2 Dragon Quest games in 1 year is a bit foolish, especially since Dragon Quest VII is coming out this month, at the end of the month, I believe. And this, Jared has always talked that this is a game that's over 100 hours long, so I think that releasing both games close to each other would have hurt the sales really, really bad. So, but Dragon Quest VII looks really, really kick-ass. They said that it was rebuilt from the ground up. I know Jared has played the import version and foolishly decided not to review it, but he's probably going to do the same when it comes to the North American version, but he's going to play it. He's saying it's a kick-ass one. Look forward to it. Next, they talked about Yo-Kai Watch 2, both versions, which have very curious names. One is called Bony Spirits, and the other one is called Fleshly Souls. And both will have unique original yokai exclusive to each version, obviously, but they seem to have a very different storyline. So for those who like the original Yo-Kai Watch, like I did, be on the lookout for those, and it's all in September. So September is going to be, seems like a pretty good month for 3DS fans. And they also talk about Shin Megami 4 Apocalypse, which is also coming out in September. So really, really, really packed month for 3DS fans. And finally, they ended this show with three previously unannounced games and one that are coming out in 2017 for the 3DS. The first one was a part of Yoshi's Woolly World for the 3DS, and that's pretty kick-ass news because that was one of my top 5 games last year, being the huge Nintendo fanboy that I am, really liked it, and I cannot wait to play it on my 3DS and play it through it again and have some fun with the new exclusive levels. The game looks great, and it's a perfect fit for a portable system. Next, they talked about Ever Oasis, which was announced during E3, and it's a action RPG type of game, so I don't really have much more to say about that one. It looks fine. We'll see how it turns out. Next one was a pretty cool surprise for me, Mario Sports Superstars, which will include 5 different sports: soccer, tennis, golf, baseball, and for some reason, horse racing. That's all we dreamed of. The 5th sport, we wanted horse racing. Like, it would have been a lot better to have football or hockey, but I guess horse racing will have to do. And apparently these looks very, very good, because the soccer game, like they said, was a full 11-on-11. So they're obviously, they didn't really sound to have much arcade elements to it. Like, obviously they will have some arcade elements to it, but they seem, unlike most Mario games, to be pretty fidel to the actual sport itself. I'm really looking forward to playing the baseball one. I'm a huge baseball dork lately, and I'm really excited for the playoffs, which are starting up soon. So playing a baseball game on my 3DS that's recent, that's going to be a good reason. And this one is actually online, guys. This has online multiplayer. This is awesome. And lastly, they ended up with a 2D brand new Pikmin for the 3DS. So this is going to be the first, I believe, Pikmin game to be released on a portable system. And it's going to be a 2D one. It kind of reminds me of the Chibi Robo 3DS game that was released last year, I believe. So that was pretty much it for the Nintendo Direct. I thought it was a pretty solid one overall. Obviously, there was not that many surprises besides Mario Maker and maybe Yoshi Woolly World. But it was still a lot of fun to watch. And I always enjoy the goofy 4-year-old humor that they do during these Directs. I don't know why, I guess it's my maturity level, but it's always fun to watch. I can't wait. I was a bit disappointing. I was hoping they would at least end by saying that. And by the way, this September or this October will be hosting a huge NX reveal event in New York City or something like that. Like, they should be hyping people up for that event. Hopefully they're not dumb enough to not do one, but I wouldn't put it past them, but I really want to know when that is happening and if it is happening. So that was my impressions and the bulk of what happened during the Nintendo Direct. So I'm going to end it with the Blast from the Past feature. Obviously, this is not going to be a long podcast compared to what we usually do because I do not have Jared here with me. Jared's the one who does all the talking most of the time, but hopefully this will be entertaining enough for you guys, and hopefully we can create a discussion in the comments section below. I really want to know what you guys think. So Blast from the Past this week for me is keeping up in theme with the Metroidvania style we've been talking about so much in the last few podcasts. The game is Alien Infestation, which is a way forwards game that was published by Sega, was released, I believe, in 2012 or 2011, I want to say. It was released when the 3DS was starting to get some hype. So it was obviously a late DS game, but it's one of the best licensed games you can ever find. It plays like a Metroidvania game. It also has some really strong horror elements. I was really stressful while playing it. And there's also a review on the site. If you go to youtube.com/projectcoe, you can actually search for Alien Infestation, and you'll find what I believe is Jared Nichols' best work, which is his review of Alien Infestation. And then I think he gave the game a 9.3 or 9.2, so he really, really loved the game as well. So I'm not the only one. Most people who's played this game really love it too. And it's a really not expensive game if you want to play it, and it's not that long either, so really recommend it. I think you can find it for as cheap as $10 online if you look for it. So look for Alien Infestation. It's a really must-play game for the Nintendo DS, fully backward compatible, of course, with the 3DS. So there you go, guys. This will be your Fanboys episode 18. I really hope you had a good time and had a great day today. And hopefully next time Jared will be there to join me. So have a good one, and I'll see you in the next episode.